Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This message is brought to you by Cologuard. Cologuard is a one-of-a-kind way to screen for colon cancer if you are 45 or older and at average risk for colon cancer. It's uniquely effective because it is the only FDA-approved, non-invasive screening test that looks for both altered DNA and blood in your stool. You know, I've actually had personal experience using Cologuard. I loved that the test kit gets delivered right to your door so that you can collect your sample on your own.
And in addition to the convenience and ease of use, it also is affordable. Most insured patients paid $0.
We really want to emphasize to our friends and listeners how important it is to screen for colon cancer if you're 45 or older. So please talk to your healthcare provider about your screening options, including screening for colon cancer with Cologuard. Cologuard is available by prescription only. You can also request a Cologuard prescription today at Cologuard.com/podcast. Do not use Cologuard if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease, and certain hereditary syndromes, or have a personal or family history of colorectal cancer. False positive and negative results may occur. Any positive result should be followed by a colonoscopy, not a replacement for a colonoscopy in high-risk patients. This story reflects one individual's experience. Not every person will have the same treatment, experience, outcome, or result.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock, a criminal scheme involving nearly 50,000 falsified unemployment insurance claims has been discovered by Maryland state officials, and this scam adds up to more than $500 million in claims. And Maryland isn't alone. Other states are experiencing similar unemployment fraud, and it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. That's why we have LifeLock. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and you could miss certain identity threats just by monitoring your credit. But LifeLock's here, and they detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they send you an alert, so you're always in the know of what's going on with all your stuff. It's amazing. Right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for August 22nd, 2020. The show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. The funniest, the most intimate, the best interviews, all that stuff, right here. We're getting to it. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Gio. Before we get started, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Before we get started with our first clip, I want to remind everybody that Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. All right, let's start it off with a live show. I love when Adam is live. He always turns it up just a little bit more.
And there's different eras. So there's certain eras like, oh, he might have a beer on stage era. And there's like, no, strict no beer era. This is probably from the have a beer era.
Yeah, you're right. There are different eras. A lot of people think that he still drinks on stage. I would say I haven't seen him with a drink on stage in probably more than 3 years.
And also people talk about it, they'll be like, oh, he's drinking a live show. It's like, well, I've actually been at like a stand-up show that's not recorded, and he's drinking. It's like, okay, he has like a Miller Lite, and he has it off stage, and he sips from it like twice or three times. So he goes through a beer per live show where he's walking around for 90 minutes. It's like, okay, so he basically drank water. You're like, I can hear it in his voice. He's drunk. It's like, he's drunk off two beers. I don't think that's possible. So I always thought that was a little bit overblown myself. It's like, he might as well just be drinking water.
Yeah, maybe he'll sip a Miller Lite. But even when we do the two show nights, where in between shows, he won't have a drink. He usually waits until it's done.
But even when he was, it's like, oh, three beer night, and he's doing 90 minutes of comedy. He's like, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, me neither.
And this episode, Adam Carolla Show 553 with Mike O'Malley, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's a live episode. It's from April 2011. Let's check it out.
All right, so who do we got? Mike O'Malley coming out here.
Yeah.
He's you guys know him. Mike's one of these guys you recognize instantly from being on TV all the time, and now I think he's on Glee as well. Glee. Can we? Mike Lynch, I forgot to ask you about this. Do you have Lieutenant Len? Can you dig that thing up? Because I got some world class complaining to do. It's a little Dancing with the Stars complaining to do, but I'll tell you what. Let's bring Mike out, and then when we find this Dancing with the Stars clip, I'll complain about that as well. Mike O'Malley, everybody.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy. How are you? Good to see you.
Hey, it's the guy from the commercials with the cute puppy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Glee's target audience, the Adam Carolla.
Yeah. What's it like being on the hottest show on television?
It's been fun. You know, it's been interesting because I play the son of a kid who's gay. And the first episode that I did...
play the dad of a kid who's gay.
I'm sorry. Right, I play the father of a kid who's gay. And what happened was is that he... When I first was sent the script, it sounded like he was going to be one of these guys, like, you know, no son of mine's going to be gay, and and thankfully he, but you know, I read your book, so I know what you're, you know, you make some jokes about it in your own life, but what happens is that, you know, the character says he finally comes out to me, and I'm like, yeah, I've known since you were three. You know, for your third birthday, you wanted expensive shoes.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
And so it was not – I don't think it's a surprise really to any parent that their kid is gay.
You have to be in some serious denial because they start the signs start – they start showing themselves very early. I have an interesting homophobic thought. Which will go in my huge hopper of homophobic thoughts. But
let's hear it.
I'm just going to be honest. I have a son and I have a daughter. And if my daughter was a lesbian, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I wouldn't be as unhappy about it as my son being gay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why, but I think most guys feel this way. And when I say unhappy, I don't mean it like it's a bad thing. Like, I love the gays and the lesbians. I wish we had more gays and lesbians. I have a whole plan where we take gays and we relocate them into bad neighborhoods to revitalize them with all their sprucing up and their manicuring of lawns and all that. Like taking honeybees and mating them with these scary Africanized killer bees, you know? And I don't mean Africanized, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, they could be from Mexico as well, but what I'm saying is well, no, seriously, Silver Lake used to be a scary neighborhood. Silver Lake was filled with gangbangers and graffiti, and it was shitty and scary, and there was, like, what happened is there was, they say white flight, but there was straight flight, and the straight dudes were like, we're out of here, and then there was nothing but scary gangbangers, and then the gays moved in when the real estate was cheap, and pow, now Silver Lake's, hey, you don't come out to anyone visiting, swing by Silver Lake. It's awesome. I'm just saying you take, I've said it once, I'll say it again, you take that stretch of Santa Monica, go to Santa Monica in Western and tell me what it looks like. A lot of guys pushing shopping carts and stabbing people with crocheting needles. Gum all over the floor.
Yeah, and you don't think they're gay?
Junk, no. Junkies defecating onto small
needles.
Dogs and crocheting needles, making a kebab out of poop and whatnot. And then...
It's actually a poopsicle.
Yes. Now go down Santa Monica about a mile and a half and see the golf course that the gays have created over there with the palm trees, and there's no graffiti and there's no crime. So I'm saying, I think we should take the gays and sort of colonize. You know what I mean? Like they had four...
I will spread the word to the gays I know.
You just need to be bussing them in.
Like a forced bussing program. Seriously. They spread out, and all of a sudden real estate goes through the roof. So I love the gays, but I think I'm not alone when, as a dad, you would probably hope, A, maybe because you want grandkids, but B, it's a shitty lifestyle. You're ridiculed. People, you know, yeah, you feel like, would you like your son or daughter living in a closet in high school? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, and that's one of the things that they go at in the show all the time. But I do think that it's even like with what happened with Kobe Bryant the other day. It is, you know, Kobe Bryant was fined for, you know, saying a gay slur. And I do think that when we were growing up, it was a lot different. It was just common. I mean, you just called that. It was, hey, you know, I think even they're getting to the point where they can't really say anything. And
yeah, athletes should be able to yell whatever they want in the heat of battle.
Really?
Why not? Who cares? They're guys with GEDs who get paid $21 million a year to dunk on other dudes. Let them yell whatever the fuck they want. Are we really looking at them as like scholars and role models? Are any of them going to be on the Supreme Court? I mean, let them fucking yell what they want. That's my feeling. Who cares? And by the way, I think Kobe has proven to the world that he's no role model, right? For a guy who don't like gays, he sure loves sodomy.
Yeah.
I will give that. A lot of range.
Well, I think, but that's the thing. But
someone should say, Kobe, which is it? You got the sodomy, you got the gay stuff. I mean, come on. Now, in or out? Pardon the pun.
No, And I think probably I'd be willing to bet that he didn't mean it in that way, right? He's just trying to offend.
This is the part where it always turns south. Because when you're talking to your gay friends, you're like, listen, I called the guy a fag and I didn't mean it like it was bad, like I hate gay people. I just meant it like he was trash, you know? Like he was, you know, like
and you
was,
know what? It's probably true that's what
but
he
no,
felt.
But no, I'm not saying gay people are bad. I just called him gay. I called him a homo because he's an asshole.
Right.
But
like
no,
said,
but
like,
no, not like that.
I said like that's right. So gay, not like homosexual. I just mean it's lame.
Like lame, yeah.
But yeah.
I don't mean you guys are bad. I just mean like lame, you know?
Right.
Like
what are the slurs you think, I guess what should be the acceptable slurs, I guess?
We got to sit down.
And come up with some new ones?
Well, one day, actually, when I did Kevin and Bean, I sat down with a list of sort of euphemisms for gay guys that would be acceptable, like ambassador to Rumponia and stuff. Stuff like that, and I should have brought the list in. I'll dig it up and pull it together one of these days. But yeah, it's a tough explanation. But the point is this: you're a dad, right? You have three kids.
Yes,
a male and female.
I have a daughter and two sons. Yes.
Right, and as a dad, the gay thing for the daughter, I think, is much more palatable than it is for the son, yes? And I'm not saying this because I'm homophobic. I'm just saying this because I'm a human being. And one of them involves two cocks, and the other involves no cocks. So the no cock option is always good for a dad, because we fear the cock. You know what I mean? As a dad, we see cocks looming in the future. You know, our kid's running a maze of cocks. And we're scared that they're going to get tangled up in cock. You know that Bob Dylan song.
Oh, my Lord.
So
like
one of them, I mean,
or labyrinth.
Well, like, seriously, like, there is this option. If your daughter is, you know, in college and she's 20 and she comes home and she says, Dad, I'm a lesbian. I want you to meet Sharon, and Sharon's piping hot. There's a chance where you could go like, wow, this is almost a jackable offense here. Like, almost. Almost. Almost.
Well, at least you're not homophobic.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people, especially because I play the father of a kid who's gay on television, you know, they always are asking, you know, what would you do if your, you know, son was gay, as if you've got to prove kind of your, you know, tolerance bona fides, you know, if you're somebody who would still love them. But I do think, and I
yeah,
get...
Yeah, there you are.
Well, no.
Look at you. That's tolerant.
Right. That's it.
Right.
I don't know. You know, the way that I look at it, I honestly just want my kids to be happy. I know that some people probably think that's a bullshit answer.
No,
let me just finish what I'm saying.
I completely agree.
There are people out there, and I think because of my exposure on the show and working with kids and hearing what they talk about and deal with, you know, we're laughing, we're having a good time. It's funny because there's a lot of truth in what you say in terms of what makes people uncomfortable and laugh. There's also People are getting killed because they're gay. They're, people are hanging themselves because they're gay, because they cannot explain or are comfortable with the way that they are made. That's it. And that's troubling that people can't just be who they are, and that people are... No, they're killing them.
No,
Matthew Shepard, they're killing them because of this thing that other people laugh at. I mean,
someone's up for a GLADdy, by the way.
We just accepted a GLAD award, but you know what, Adam?
Wow.
You know, I
what do you get?
You know, we get a nice little award.
Cock and balls or just the cock?
No. Because it's gays and lesbians transgender.
No,
so.
No, that's a award show. Just you know, some sort of neutral.
But you know, Jane
Lucite. Yeah, something.
Jane Lynch, who was in your movie, The Hammer, is a big part of Glee. And,
sure.
You know, when you work with fellow actors who are out there, and my son on the show leading very proud lives, and it's a struggle for them, it's a component to their life that is just, it shouldn't be that difficult.
I concur, and it's really, you know, when I say that I hope my kids aren't gay, most of it is just because I don't want them to have to go through that that life. I don't want
without
them,
a doubt.
You know, to go through the ridicule and to, you know, be in high school and feel uncomfortable and then feel like, what if their friends found out and now prom's coming up and what the hell do you do?
I also think that, you know, what's funny is that I don't even want to think about my kids having sex, or, you know, I don't want to think about my kids as sexual beings, and I don't think any parent does.
No,
you know, I'm convinced that, you know, if there was, you know, if you think about people like, we're for sex education in school, they never teach you how to do it. It's always about pregnancy prevention and STD prevention. It's never about, like, if you focus here, girls will throw rocks at your window, you know?
Right. Yeah, I've never been on a date where a guy brings out a cucumber and puts a condom on it.
Rarely.
It
almost
only
never.
Happens in school.
Yeah. I remember one call from Loveline many years ago, and I always said to Dr. Drew, I said, as soon as my kids hit puberty, I'm just going to walk around with a cyanide capsule in my cheek. And that way, if I ever fling open the door and see what I'm about to describe to you, I'll just chomp down on it, and that'll be it. I'll be dead before my head hits the floor. It'll be like a... You know, a German war criminal. And this guy called in. He said he was gay. He was probably about 16, 17 years of age. He said he picked up a dude at a club or dance or whatever. He said, I brought the kid home in the early mornings. Early morning hours, his dad walked in and caught him and the dude. And I said, exactly, where you doing? Because there's different stratas here. You know what I mean? It ranges. It
were
ranges.
They
this is.
Can you give us
it's worse than you can imagine. And I know a lot of you have a pretty vivid imagination. This is her. He said, when my dad opened the door, I was on my back with my legs flung over me, sucking my own dick while he was beating off. You didn't think of that one, did you?
No, I did not. No.
That's worse.
I did not.
Think you did,
I said
so they weren't
out.
Really having sex. They were just in the
dad.
Same room at the
one
same
again.
Time.
Cyanide capsule, pow, gone. They'd have to step over me to get breakfast, you know? That's it. That'd be it. What happened, old man Corolla? They'd have their pants up. I don't know. Yeah. We heard a thump in the hall, and this is it. We were working on some algebra in here, and he died doing what he loved, which is judging. All right. The two calls I remember. One was that call, and the other was a guy who said he went to a mausoleum and he pulled off the head of a old deceased person in the mausoleum.
I took that call.
Oh, you did, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
You screened that call?
He had sex with it?
No. What are you, some kind of sick fuck?
How dare you?
How dare you?
I said he had sex with him.
What? Well, Brian, you'd say what
it was great because it was early on in my phone screening career. The guy called up and he was like, I'm having trouble meeting women.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, well, what seems to be the problem? And he's like, well, I they always seem to freak out when I tell them I just got out of jail. I'm like, well, all right, well, why'd you just get out of jail? And he goes, well, I went to jail for 3 or 4 years, and he was like 19. I'm like, we're 19 years old. He's like, yeah, I ripped the head off a corpse and put it in a fish tank.
Right, right.
Ripped the head. Put the head in a fish tank?
Well, to be fair to him, it was a terrarium.
Yes, right.
And by the way, please help me on this. A terrarium is an aquarium without water.
Right. Yes. For lizards
so
and
nobody
fish.
Should be able to buy an aquarium. You should only be able to buy a terrarium, and then once you fill it up with your hose, it becomes an aquarium. But I don't know why we need an aquarium and a terrarium. I feel like we're covered with aquarium or terrarium. But anyway, he had a snake running around this thing, and he wanted a skull for his snake to slither through.
Yeah, and I said, why don't you buy a fake skull at a costume shop? And he goes, I wanted a skull.
Right.
Which is a perfect answer for that question.
Yeah, he wanted a real skull. Oh, by the way, go ahead, Mike.
No, I used to listen to Love Line, and you guys had a couple of theories that now that I have you on stage, I wanted you to ask. Because
sure.
Because you guys kind of came to this on your own. One was that any woman who talks in a girly, little girly kind of voice, even if she's older,
right.
was sexually abused.
Yes.
And how did you guys arrive at this, just the nature of the phone calls? And then also that Dr. Drew said that if somebody has been sexually abused, their brain has been shattered
mm-hmm.
and must be put back together.
Yeah, well, he's just looking for business over at the rehab. A clinic. And I always say this about...
We have a clinic where we put our brain back together.
Yeah. The Humpty Dumpty Clinic. Emphasis on Humpty. I always laugh because whenever I watch his rehab show, they all drive in that Extendo Ford Econoline van, and it says in huge letters, Pasadena Recovery Clinic on it. Yeah. It's like, couldn't just leave it unmarked so everyone's not looking at us going, hey, look at the junkies on parade. Like, really? You couldn't get to the youth center if you didn't say, hey, we've had a problem with drinking and or trucker speed? Like, why do you need... And by the way, how many extra clients are you picking up where they go, hey, that's a hell of a van, you know?
And the junkies on board thing on the back.
Right, yeah, a little much. Yeah, not only could Dr. Drew tell... that a young girl was molested, because when you get molested, you sort of freeze at the age you were molested. He could tell the difference between someone who was molested at 4 years of age and 9 years of age, depending on what their voice sounded like, thus like, where they froze.
He's like a molestation like sommelier.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's like a molestation sommelier. You can tell the exact difference.
Yeah, it's right on his license.
Vintages.
Right on his license plate, Frank.
It's a 4 year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so sad. So sad. Allison, you got some news for us, baby girl?
I sure do. And I have an announcement, which is that there's... Yes, I do. A couple new features, Face to Face with Ace and One Man's Opinion,
mm-hmm.
which are videos from the show, are now available on Huffington Post and AOL. So you can go to huffingtonpost.com/comedy, and there are new ones posted every week.
Wow, sounds like a lot of work. And we're really going to have to double down on the complaining.
I agree with Charles Manson.
Okay.
Live from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news with Allison Rosen.
All right. Well, listen to this. I think you'll enjoy this. Good news for peanut lovers.
Ooh.
Turns out the Department of Transportation is prohibited from restricting the serving of peanuts on airplanes.
Yes.
You should be able to get your precious nuts, Corolla.
Oh, thank
right.
God.
You don't like the peanut allergy.
I don't care about the peanut allergies. Not interested in you. People take a fucking donkey to Vegas. I don't give a fuck. Do not call ahead and tell them to take him off the plane.
Ooh, I'm deathly allergic to donkeys. Prompted by complaints from passengers with peanut allergies, the Department of Transportation asked the public its thoughts on serving peanuts on planes. It offered up three options: an outright ban, a ban when requested by passenger in advance, or a peanut-free buffer zone around allergic passengers who ask for it in advance.
So perfect.
But now, according to CNN, the agency says its hands are tied because of a 12-year-old law blocking action without a more formal scientific study. So, meaning they have to do like a peer review thing before they can go ahead and make any kind of law. So they were just sort of wanting to get the public's opinion on
this. You know, you talk about this in your book, but what is it that, why do you think that all of a sudden it has exploded and so many people are allergic to it?
Glamour.
We are self-obsessed pussies now. No, we don't know the difference between a 1 and a 3. I'm sure we were all allergic to something, or 1 and a 10. We were allergic to something growing up. But no, everyone just said, rub some dirt on it. Walk it off. Like, who gives a shit? So what? So you can't eat pineapple. Big fuck. Keep moving, you know? There wasn't this whole thing where we put the individual in front of the group. That's what's happened. If one person can't, I mean, it's the same reason why we can't build, look, take Vegas. We can't build a high-speed rail to Vegas because we have to do 1,500 environmental impact reports to see if a fucking dung beetle is going to be displaced. And if so, and by the way, if you're looking for reasons, you'll always find a reason. Thus, all we do is we get tied up in court, litigation, and not an ounce of track ever gets laid toward our high-speed rail. We can't do anything because we're fucking hogtied. It's lawsuits, it's special interest groups, it's mothers against peanuts, it's dung beetles against rail.
Map.
Map.
Mothers against peanuts.
Mothers against peanuts. What would dung beetles against trains be?
Dat.
Map and dat, you know, we can't fucking do a thing because we're listening to
dung
everybody.
Dung beetles against mothers is damn.
No, here's what happened, right?
Dung beetles against mothers against peanuts is damn map.
Right. Oh, you want to put a fucking second story on your garage? You have to check with every neighbor in a 10-mile block. They all say no. You got one fucking crazy narcissist at the end of the street. Next thing you know, there's a court hearing and fucking 5 years goes by. This is what we've done. We've empowered everybody. And guess what? There's so many fucked up victims out there. There's so many people that are going to get, they're going to get their pound of flesh out of you. Not because they have a beef with you. They have a beef with their stepdad who molested them when they were 5 years old, but they're going to fucking take it out on your ass in the form of you not getting a second story on your fucking garage. That's the society we've crafted. We have asswipes like the ACLU empowering these people, and we look at this as progress. By the way, not having a train built from here to Vegas and been talking about it for the last 25 years is not my fucking definition of progress. Thank you. We're so fucking evolved now, we've removed everything.
Well, you're right, because the Department of Transportation evidently can't prohibit serving of peanuts because there's all these, like, because they're stuck because of bureaucracy.
I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. If you have a legitimate peanut allergy, you should not be flying Southwest. If your kid, I ain't shitting you, if your kid is going to go into anaphylactic shock, if he comes in contact with peanut dust, do not fly Southwest Airlines because those planes are like peanut silos. You can fucking empty them, but there's still going to be a lot of residue.
The air.
It's all circulated. It's on every tray. It's on every stewardess. It's on, it's up every... Believe me.
If you dust for nuts, nuts everywhere.
Oh, my God. I've been out dusting for nuts on a Saturday night.
Palm Springs.
If you had a little swatch of paper that was nut dusting paper that you would, I get it mail order because I'm too embarrassed to go in and buy it. But if you would wipe it on the tray table, you would wipe it on the air duct up top, you would wipe it on the top of the seat in front of you, you would wipe it on the Sky Mall catalog, you would wipe it on the flight attendant's ass, you'd find peanut dust on every single corner of that airplane, yes?
Yes.
I bet when that Southwest...
If they had that like, you know, CSI, you know, laser camera that
Not
finds
forensics.
Hotel rooms filled with bodily fluids.
It's called a Woods Light. Yes. Ugh. Yeah. You want to know how I know it's called a Woods Light?
Why?
You want to know ballsy. Dr. Drew once told me that almost everyone had HPV. Human papilloma had warts.
Warts.
Everyone had warts. And I said... I don't have warts. And he's like, yeah, you do. And I said, you don't understand. While my friends were fucking, I was fighting. You don't get warts from fighting. And he's like, you got warts, you just don't know it. By the way, it's hard to argue when a guy said, right, you got warts and you don't know it.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I mean, no, I don't. I mean, fuck you.
Well, especially when it can only be seen by an X-ray camera.
Right. So he said, you've got warts and you don't know it. And I said, well, what are you talking? How is it? How is it that I've said? He said, I bet you're carrying the virus and you're not even aware of it. And somewhere around the 55th time he pointed at me and said I had warts and then said everyone has warts, I realized Dr. Drew's got warts on his cock. I was like, I'm no doctor.
I could have told you that.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whatever.
I'm no doctor, but this is called projection. So I said, here's how stupid I was. I was like, here, Dr. Drew, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you $100. We'll do it. We'll do it live on the air on Loveline. You get an independent doctor to come in here. They dump acetic acid on your wiener. And then we'll shut the lights and we'll put the woods light, the black light, on your wiener. You figure the black light would make your cock look bigger, right?
Right.
And it's got the word black right in it.
Is there a it's got a cobra poster.
It's just, yeah. Seriously, if you put this acid on your skin and you shine a black light on it, you'll see every little, if you have any little nicks or cuts or anything, it'll just start foaming white. So I said, bring it on. We'll do it live on the air and put $100 up. We both put $100 up.
Did Dr. Drew have a lot of nicks and cuts?
Dr. Marcel is the guy who applied the juice to the weenus and shut the lights and put the woods light on there. And he basically said that I had the cock of a 14-year-old. Like still had that new cock smell.
Well, what about Dr. Drew?
I did not put his cock against my phallus. Oh. I just challenged him. I happily took his $100, went out and bought a whore, and then promptly got warts with the $100, ironically. So it didn't have a great ending. It didn't have not an inspiring ending. But, yeah, cock check time. Yeah, you know they say it's gut check time sometimes? This is cock check time.
I just want to say this is a great way to spend Holy Thursday.
Yes. This is awesome. You know, I'll tell you the Southwest flight. The only Southwest flight that does not have peanut dust all over it is the one that opened up and had everything suck out of it. That's the only Southwest plane that's not covered in peanut dust. So if, bringing this around, you have an actual allergy to peanuts, do not fly the airline that does nothing but serve peanuts. Thank you. Sorry. Continue.
Jerry Seinfeld pulled out of a charity event hosted by Donald Trump's son.
And came on its belly.
Now they all have warts, and they're covered in nut dust.
Nut dust.
And dung beetles.
I gave her a healthy dose of nut dust. Check it with the woods light, Doc.
I feel like nut dust, it just be like poof. Like,
yeah, that's how I make my escape.
Nut dust.
He left. I don't know where he went. It was just a cloud of nut
dust. He left in a cloud of nut dust with a hi-ho nutsack. Away! Sorry.
The nut duster strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
You're the cock of a 14-year-old. Anyway, yes, so Jerry Seinfeld withdrew from a charity event hosted by Donald Trump's son because he's sick of Trump questioning Obama's birth certificate and citizenship. The September event was to benefit St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Trump wrote a letter to Seinfeld, which the New York Post obtained. In it, he said, I just learned you canceled a show for my son's charity because of the fact that I am, quote, very aggressive with respect to President Obama, who is doing an absolutely terrible job as our leader. We don't care that you broke your commitment, even though the children of St. Jude are very disappointed, and despite the fact that your manager clearly stated that you are truly a man of his word. And Trump also said he regretted going on Seinfeld's less than successful reality show, The Marriage Ref.
Very unclassy. Very unclassy, yeah. That show. Absolutely no class. And by the way, the New York Times,
Post.
New York Post obtained this, or Donald Trump sent them a copy of it?
That's probably the latter.
They weren't breaking into anything with a flashlight in their mouth. He gave them a copy of it, right?
Yes.
Wow, this is weird. I can't figure out. I don't think this whole birther thing is going to help any Republicans get elected. But I can't figure out what's going on. I mean, Barack Obama can't produce anything now, right? Because he's been provoked.
The birth certificate has been posted. People have seen it. I mean, if you're someone who believes that it's real,
if it's posted, then how come? Why? What's Trump talking about?
The birthers think it's a forgery.
Oh, but so why wouldn't when you showed them the next one, wouldn't that be a forgery too? Like, what? How do you authenticate it?
That's exactly the problem. How can he prove it other than how he's proven it?
I don't give a shit where the guy's born.
There it is, right there.
Right now, if you could find a guy from the Ukraine that would come in here and do a kick-ass job, I'd take him, wouldn't you? I mean, do you guys give a shit?
Do you think Donald Trump would be a good president?
I think it'd be fun. Like, first off, it'd be the best 4 years of SNL we'd ever the greatest SNL.
Right.
Like, everyone at SNL is like, look, I'm liberal, I'm super lefty, I have three sisters that are all lesbians, I drive a Prius, but I am voting for Trump. I hope you understand. Like, it'd be the first time every left-leaning comedian, Sarah Silverman voted for a Republican,
exactly.
Right? Everybody in the comedic community would be praying that Trump, right, would
win. Do you
think
he's really going to run? I feel like he's the new Charlie Sheen.
Like
just
every
in our face and being crazy.
Look at this. We're sitting here talking about him. I think he's just a master. He's like P.T. Barnum. He knows how to get people talking about
him. And also with the, with Schwarzenegger, being elected and all that, isn't sort of. Aren't all bets off nowadays? Like, I feel like this was a non-starter 10 years ago. And. Maybe
where you're born, you mean? Or what's a non-starter?
What would have been, it was the novelty politician.
Oh.
Before the Sarah Palins, before the, like I said, the Schwarzenegger, like the notion of Schwarzenegger, before Schwarzenegger sounds insane.
It started with Gopher from Love Boat.
Right, Fred Grandy.
Was a U.S. rep.
Right.
And then Sonny Bono was.
Right, then Sonny Bono. And then Schwarzenegger, and now it's just, I feel like it's just game on. Like, I just feel like everyone's stupid. It's a popularity contest. And by the way, I love when people try to put other people down by saying it's a popularity contest. Like, you may just have won student body president, but that's just a popularity contest. Fantastic. I'm the most popular guy in North Hollywood High. Is there any kind of blowjob contest I could get involved with? Are you trying to put me down by saying I'm wildly popular amongst my peers? It's just a popularity contest. Beautiful.
People like me.
Yeah. So I think it's... I would say in a society where, 70% of Americans believe they have guardian angels and 46% believe Elvis is still alive and the aforementioned Sonny Bono.
I have guardian Elvis.
You have a guardian Elvis. That's 22%. And the other, 68% have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why the fuck couldn't we elect this guy? I mean, we're nuts, right? Right? I'm not saying I want him to be president, but I'm just saying he's nuts and we're nuts and why not? None of your things have happened.
Right.
Plus, I don't think the president really does anything anymore.
It's so hard to get things done.
I don't think he gets anything done. So what would be the difference? Would you notice that 4 years?
Would he still do Celebrity Apprentice?
I hope so. He would definitely make the White House a lot classier. A lot of gold leafing and toilet seats.
Yeah,
and
he'd finally clean up that dump.
Right.
Well, speaking of crazies, Charlie Sheen also made some birther comments at his Washington, D.C. show this week. He was talking about potentially running for office as well. For starters, I was fucking born here. How about that? And I got proof. Nothing photoshopped about my birth certificate. The crowd cheered. But then someone yelled, "Entertain us." And then someone else yelled, "Shut the..." It's my favorite. Someone else yelled, "Shut the fuck up and say something weird."
Wow. I like
the fact...
Twitter. I like the fact that they've gotten past him saying something funny or witty or interesting, and now just like, would you please urinate or defecate or do something right. insane? I paid $52 for a ticket, and
no,
you're just
over $100.
Over $100 for a goddamn ticket.
They did not go there to hear him talk about his birth certificate. They went to hear something weird.
Okay, so here's all I want to say. Charlie Sheen is selling out 4,000 and 5,000 seat venues all around the country, while comedians, bona fide, talented, funny folks, folks that we know, recognizable names, are having difficulty selling out McGiggles in Poughkeepsie with 230 seats on a Saturday night, and Sheen is selling out the Mega Dome on a Thursday. You don't think we're fucked up enough to vote in Trump as president? Are you kidding me? I'd say that's Exhibit A.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's Exhibit B? I know you have it.
And that was Mike O'Malley on stage live with Adam, Allison, and Brian back in 2011.
I think right around this time he was about to, where he was doing his stint on Justified as like this like Chicago hitman, like mafioso type guy. It was a really interesting role. It was like, wow, Mike O'Malley can really stretch. And of course, we know him from Nickelodeon Guts.
That's right. Started off as the host of one of our favorite childhood game shows. Yes, that's right. All right.
Back in the day, I think it was like 5 years ago, I found him, and like, he's on Twitter, of course, but Mo was also on Twitter. And there was like, I think there was like even a moment where somebody like tweeted both of them, and I was like, oh, childhood complete.
Yeah. I love when that happens. It all just kind of falls back into place, like puzzle pieces. Beautiful. Before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody about Madison Reed Mister. Guys, we're all on those Zoom calls, and you get that selfie view, and you look at yourself, and I want you to feel good about it. And a lot of the times, your hair is just getting a little gray. It's fading away. Luckily, there's Madison Reed Mister. It's a very easy-to-use product where it colors your hair, but it makes it look so natural. It's not overdone, which is nice. And I remember I got some for Adam. He took it home, used it, came back in, and was looking mighty fine. He says it was very easy to use as well. Just you it comes with the gloves, the activator tube, the color, and it takes just a few minutes. So I think it's a no-brainer. Check out Madison Reed Mister, and we'll give you a deal right here. Go to madisonreedmister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. Use the code ADAM for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box of Madison Reed Mister. One more time, that's code ADAM. All right, let's get going with another clip. This one is a request from Ian Cornell, and he wrote, "Hey guys, listening to you on the Adam Carolla Show today, great as always, Brad." And he's talking to Brad Williams. "I'm hoping to get the replay of the story of you getting mugged in Brazil on a future episode of Carolla Classics. That's a classic worth repeating." Well, Ian, I agree. I totally remember this story because it terrified me of going to Brazil. And here it is from 2014.
One of our favorites, Brad Williams, in studio about last night, co-hosted with Adam Reyes. Ooh, boy, I got to tell you, if I had to flip a dwarf and find out who I liked better, Brad Williams or Adam Ray, I fucking love both of you guys, man.
Well, I mean, we get along together, and I think that's what makes the podcast work so well. But thank you for being so supportive and always having us on.
Well, it's available on iTunes and... What else can I say? It's peanut butter and chocolate. How can you go wrong with these two? Now, Brad,
I mean, Jew and midget is usually a great combo. It's right. It's right after peanut butter and chocolate. If like a cannibal could have a Jew midget sandwich, they would totally be about that.
Our mouth to God's ears. So you just got back from Brazil
yesterday? Yeah.
And you went there for the World Cup?
I was there with your friend and mine, Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We went out there together, saw four games, went to five cities, got mugged. It was fun.
Oh, you got mugged?
Yeah. But I was warned that I was going to get mugged.
By the mugger?
No. I was warned by the Brazilian consulate when I went to get my papers and all that. They said, just so you know, you should have a fake wallet and a fake cell phone on you. For when you get mugged. Not if you get mugged. When you get mugged.
You can throw it like throwing a tennis ball for a dog, and they'll go chasing after it, and then you can make your escape.
Yeah, by the way, just throw it away.
Can I say this? When the consulate, you know, whatever piece of shit country you guys are listening in right now, when your own people have to give people a laundry list of shit not to do in your country, right. Like, hey, don't drink any of the water.
Right.
Certainly don't go out after the streetlights come on. If you do, definitely stay in a crowd. Like, when that list gets about as long as Ron Jeremy's cock, maybe it's time for you to stop and reexamine your country just a little bit when you're giving lots of... You know what I mean? It's like when somebody's staying in your house and you're like, listen, don't try the hot water in the entry bathroom because that, and you got to jiggle the fucking can, the commode because the toilet
the
over.
Don't go out after 5 p.m. or before.
Yeah, if you're going to shit, you got to wipe your ass with just a handful of goose down. Don't try toilet paper because that's going to clog up the. When that list takes 15 minutes for you to deliver, maybe it's time for you to go around the house and take a good look about fixing the place up just a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But I'm glad they gave me the advice because it happened.
So what happened? So you and Kevin of Kevin and Bean are out there.
Yeah.
How did that marriage begin?
Oh, of me and Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin is an interesting guy in that he likes to go out. He likes to explore. He likes to. Set out and do all that kind of stuff.
He certainly did. My brother-in-law is on the board of Kevin's charity, the Friends and Helpers charity. And we're all soccer fans, and we just sort of got all talking, and this is 2 years ago that we decided to do this, and we did it. And it was a blast. It was a blast to go with my friends and see another country and see... It really makes you appreciate American hookers, too. It really does. Because, I mean...
Now, there must have been piles.
Piles.
Of hookers. Like, they're bringing them in on pallets and forklifts, right?
I don't know what the name is for a group of hookers. Is it like a murder of hookers?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be a pod.
Could be a pod of hookers.
A coos.
Gaggle.
Gaggle. A swab, maybe.
A cunt
of hookers.
A cunt of hookers. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what? Buy American, people. That's what I'm trying to say. Because you go out to the other countries, and these hookers are on Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro, and they're standing right next to the Brazilian supermodel with the huge ass and the big titties and the thong bikini, and they're right next to that going, hey, hook me up. Why don't you want to sleep with this? Like, because you're standing next to a supermodel.
But how do you... It's weird.
You're not going to choose the hooker. You're not going to choose the rump steak when the filet mignon is right there.
But how do you... Well, first off... You may not get into that dining car where the filet mignon is being kept.
Could
be Leonardo DiCaprio's plate that he's queued up. So
damn height requirement.
I'm just saying, there's no guarantees. The rump steak, at least you know you're getting sustenance
that night.
You know, you're going to bed with a full belly of jizz, but a full belly. But either way, no guarantees with the models. But also, it strikes me... When you're in Brazil and everyone is wearing a thong back, you know, the fucking Surgeon General's wearing a thong back walking down the street. How do you, and everyone's wearing wedgie, you know, stripper wedgies. How the fuck do you figure out who the hookers are in Brazil? Isn't everyone, I mean, how do you differentiate that?
It's pretty much the ugly ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're the hookers. If they're on Copacabana Beach and they come up to you, because I imagine that the hookers in Vegas probably had this same problem. Mm-hmm. Where, like, now it's kind of the point where you go to Vegas at night and you can't tell. Everyone's slutting it up.
Yeah, it's like it used to be easy if you wanted to back in the day, like you're shooting a bad you know, episode of Beretta, you needed a biker gang. Well, just find me a guy with a tattoo and a beard.
Reference. Good reference.
Find me. But all you needed was a guy. Find me a white guy with a tattoo. He's a biker for sure. He's got a beard. Now every fucking pussy's got a tattoo and a beard and whatever. Every hipster, like, we've all just become one thing.
How
and
pissed off are actual sluts on Halloween?
Right.
When, like, everyone's dressing up and they got a black bra on and they're saying, oh, well, I'm a slutty nun. It's like, come on. That's my territory. I'm supposed to be the whore.
So
what's up?
What? So they come up to you and they're ugly.
Yeah.
And what do they say?
They must have known that we were Americans just walking around. Like, we must just have that American vibe. I don't know what the American vibe is, but we must just be sweating it out, because they would come up and just start saying, you know, hey, you know, 200 for a good night, $150 for a good night. And I don't know. And I would look at these hookers, and in my head, I'm going, I would pay $200 not to. Like, that's a good night to me. Like, if I'm 30, and my idea of a good night is going home, watching a movie on Netflix and beating off and going to bed. That's a great night.
Yeah. Well, also, as I've said, you know, the car wash charges extra for vans. I feel like you should get a break. Like, I'm just saying, it's $150 for Brad Williams and Ralphie May. You know what I mean? Come on now. The car wash got it right.
Well done,
sir. The Miata's cheaper than the fucking van.
Darn right.
Well, I would offer a discount.
That's going into your next book.
A non-group discount.
Yes. Yeah, the same way you would charge more. The same way you would charge more for a gangbang if a midget's plowing you, and I use the word plow very generously. We should absolutely get. Absolutely,
I would give
get
you
discount.
A break. I would.
Us and Asians.
Absolutely.
It's not going to hurt.
I would give you a break.
It's perfect.
So there you are on the beach. Yeah. A lot of hookers. Now, how do you get rolled?
Is that slang for mugged?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
Adam is very street.
I watch Beretta. I understand. I know street talk. Told me.
He's saying rolled. I'm like, I didn't take any ecstasy while I was there.
Rolled that's what they do to you on the street when they take your watch.
Well, and you would know.
Mm-hmm.
Being from North Hollywood High and all.
Mm-hmm.
That was coming home from a game in Manaus. And Manaus is a city that's right on the equator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much a ghetto that they decided to have this soccer games in, and they built a stadium from nothing. That they couldn't even drive the parts there; they had to fly the parts of the stadium in, and then have them come down the Amazon River. So it's really just a jungle that they decided to have a game in.
How many stadiums? And by the way, my theory a few weeks back was the closer you are to the equator, the less shit you build.
Yeah.
Like, the less durable goods come out of your country.
Sure, because,
like,
it's hot and you got the beach and you're fine.
Nobody on the equator builds a fine automobile.
Right.
It just doesn't exist.
I
don't know that the equator or anywhere near the equator produces a fine automobile.
I think they go for the same philosophy with the hookers as well. Like, the closest you get towards the equator.
I don't think you get a good washer-dryer set out of any place near the equator, or a refrigerator with a slide-out freezer in the bottom drawer. Mm-hmm.
A good parade.
Yeah.
You get parades and hookers.
But then you have the other line where you go so far away from the equator that it starts going in the other direction.
That's
as well.
A sweet spot.
There's
you
a
need
sweet
the sweet spot of...
It's, right in Michigan.
It's just cold enough to make some good cars.
Yeah.
But not so hot that we want to go out and sun our asses on the beach.
Exactly.
All right.
So we're coming home from this game, and this guy, we're trying to wait for a cab, and this guy comes up, and he must have seen me and thought, like, well, it's like the gazelle with the limp. You know what I mean? Like, all right, that's the one that I can get.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if he thought that I was going to have a lot of money.
Sporting of him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going big game hunting. You know what I mean? Like, go out there. I mean, if you have a beagle's head on your wall and saying, "Yeah, I shot that beagle dog from 100 yards," that's not very impressive. You know?
No,
you
I know.
The bear
there's
or the
there's
elk
that
or
part
something.
Where it's like, oh, they hit the old lady and took her purse away, and you go, "Well, that's not very noble," but. They've given up dignity. They're criminals, you know. Maybe they just want the easiest purse to grab. Yeah. And if Brock Lesnar was standing there, they'd be like, "Man, we'll find an easier wallet to get than Brock's."
Exactly.
So, and are you there with Kevin?
Yeah, I'm there with Kevin.
Now, Kevin's a decent sized guy.
Yeah, but they went on ahead to try to get a cab. So I'm like kind of left by myself, and I'm sort of wandering up, and this guy just sort of wrapped his arm around me like he was my buddy, and then he kind of whispers in my ear, and he kind of puts the gun up next to my rib cage,
mm-hmm.
and he just goes, "Hey, you know, give me your wallet, give me your phone."
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I had the fakes on me.
Oh, you did get the fakes?
Yes. Oh, I got them. I had them ready. And I'm almost like that guy that's like been taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu for like 30 years, and I'm just now getting into a fight.
It's time.
Yeah. It's like, I've been waiting for this moment. I was smiling as I got mugged because I knew I had the answer.
What is a cell phone worth on the brown market, whatever they got over there.
Brown market?
Yeah, the sort of caramel colored tanned market over there. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, okay, if you have a brand new iPhone, that's fine. But
yeah,
short of that, is there that much? I don't know.
But he wanted it. And, all right. So I gave him my phone, and at the same time, I'm laughing.
Right.
Because before I left, as soon as I knew that I was going to have this fake wallet and the fake cell phone, I turned on this fake cell phone and I loaded it up with cock pictures.
Oh, that's great.
Like all my cock. So he has nothing but dwarf cock pics.
And does like the wallet have the cardboard fake credit cards that come with a wallet?
Yeah, it had that. It had like pictures of the family that obviously wasn't mine. Like they're black and stuff.
Right.
And you're like, what?
Can I say this for those who are listening who produce wallets for a living? We don't need the fake cardboard credit cards in there to purchase the wallet.
That's what goes
in
there.
Yeah, we're like, what do I do? Put a toaster oven in this goddamn thing? Like, what goes in this?
Oh, there's a fake credit card.
You've never seen me trying to climb into one of those slots or what do I put, road flares in here? Like, we get it. The credit card goes in there. We'll do that math. Thank you very much.
I'll occasionally try to stuff a condom in there, but that math gets done very quickly for
me. Yeah, my wallet should come with the fake cardboard condom. So
it should.
You pull the wallet out.
Yeah.
Did he want to look inside the wallet?
No, they're getting in, they're getting out. They don't want to get discovered because there was a large military presence there and a large police presence. They obviously did their job with me. So I just gave him the fakes, and then he ran off, and I'm just giddy. And someone like walks up to me and is like, what happened? You were just mugged. I'm like, but he's got the fake. He's going to see dwarf cock pictures. and you're trying to explain that like in Portuguese. It was really weird.
The fake phone is actually a fake phone or just a cheap phone that's not your phone?
It's a phone that I've had for 4 years. It's just like when I got my new phone, I just kept this one in case of
emergencies. So they don't actually make fake phones for this?
No. So if
they should.
Yeah. If you have an old phone you can go to like a Cricket or something like that and get a phone for like $20 or something. Like
Fake phone, fake wallet.
Yeah.
And then how many different stadiums did you go to?
We went to 4 different stadiums. We went to Manaus, Recife, Belo Horizonte, and Rio.
And what was the most raucous crowd you went to?
By far, we saw Brazil play Chile in a knockout game in Belo Horizonte, sold out, and Brazil fans watching Brazil is the most unreal experience. I saw so many grown men crying.
Really?
Like, just like when, and not even when something, like, not even when the end result would happen, like, if a guy would miss a pass, they would just wail like a heavy set woman of color at a funeral, just, no!
Right.
And then they just start crying and like, hey, my team. It was nuts. Oh, and the best part is that everyone comes to these games dressed as the stereotype of their country. Which I love, because everyone says, you know, stereotypes are wrong, don't do it, don't judge, whatever. Like, you go to a game with Germany.
Not this podcaster.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm all about it.
Like, you go to games, you would see Germany, everyone's in lederhosen,
right.
Mexicans have the bandolero and the sombrero on, Japan fans come dressed as a car accident. It's awesome!
And they clean up after themselves.
It's so
at least
great.
The Japanese
they
do.
They did!
And that sounds, besides the mugging, and even the mugging was a nice mugging, sounds pretty fucking magical.
It was.
So how many days were you there for?
We were there 10 days.
Would you have extended your stay if the U.S. had not got knocked out?
Kevin from Kevin and Bean Show and my brother-in-law actually did. I had gigs to do. I went home, and they stayed an extra day and watched USA get kicked out by Belgium.
Wow. What? Just and so your thoughts on the country overall?
The country Brazil?
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely saw the poverty lines in terms of the people in the favelas and the city structure. Like, we were on a bus coming back from one of the games, and they had a flash flood, and we had to stop and just we couldn't move for 3 hours. We were stuck on the bus for 3 hours because they had a flash flood. We're seeing cars floating by and people like starting to do makeshift boats, and this happened in a matter of minutes because of being in the Amazon and everything. So like the nice parts of Brazil are very nice. The hotels and where the tourists go was great. Copacabana Beach in Rio is unbelievable. The Christ statue and all that, it's great. But there's definitely dramatic class differences. Like, you make one turn, and then it's just – it's not pretty.
Yeah. It sounds like a really fun and interesting trip. I've hit the road with Kevin a couple times myself, and he's an easy guy to travel with.
He is. He's great. He got absolutely wasted one night, and that was awesome.
I find him to be super boring to eat with. He's like literally like he'll be like, is there KFC? And I'm like, come on, we're in Seattle. Let's go down to the fish market and go, there's no KFC? Like, he's that kind of eater.
Yeah. I mean, he was happy with we were like, oh, we got to get some food one time before going to an airport. He's like, nah, they got food in the airport. And then,
right.
And then we go to the airport and they literally just had cheese sandwiches and not the nice kind. And this is in a restaurant. In the airport, so we're like, oh yeah,
There's part of me that kind of appreciates it, but when you're traveling, the food is half the allure.
Yeah,
and sampling the local cuisine and everything, and the guy's looking for the KFC always drives me nuts.
To his credit, he ponied up one night, and we went to this restaurant in Rio that was a 7-course meal. That was and we walk in, and there's a guy putting whipped cream inside liquid nitrogen. To like make that as a dessert.
Yeah.
It was so good. And we're seeing this really expensive stuff all around. We're like, this is going to be amazing. And so we sit down for the meal, and they first bring out this tiny plate that has a small white disc on it. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, well, this is cool. And then they come with water, and they pour it on the disc, and then the disc grows.
Mm.
It just grows right there. We're like, oh, that's fucking sweet. And we're all looking at each other like, this is going to be great. And I grab it, and I pop it in my mouth. They're like, what's it taste like? And I go, well, it tastes like a hot towel because that's what it is.
Yeah.
We're so uncultured that we had the hot towel, and we were just so anxious. And yes, they were laughing at me, but they were all about to do the same thing, so they couldn't really laugh at me, so I'm just chewing on hot towel.
And that was Brad Williams' harrowing tale from his time in Brazil. He was warned, and they were right.
Now I'm just picturing Brad Williams with a prehensile tail.
Oh, yeah. I should have spelled it. Oh, well. Too late.
That would be weird.
Thank you, Brad.
Brad should bring that in like a movie project or something. I kind of like it.
Thanks for requesting that, Ian. And that was received through Twitter. If you guys want to request a clip, you can tweet us too, at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, or email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. All right, let's get going with another clip. This one features, of course, one of our favorite comedians, Bill Burr.
Adam Carolla Show 418. From all the way back in 2010, in September, they have Tracy Metro filling in, which I left the explanation of who she is and how she matters to the show, so you'll hear that first. You'll hear a little Bill Burr, a little bit of the news, kind of a supercut. It's kind of what we're doing all weekend. This one is 418, Bill Burr, Tracy Metro, and Brian Bishop. Check it out.
And filling in for Teresa on the news, Tracy Metro. They'll play Adam in a round of Blah Blah Blog. And now, ladies... He can be the ace in your hole for a price. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to the show, Bald Brian. Good to see you.
It's so damn hot.
It is goddamn hot out here. And Tracy Metro, it's been way too long.
It has been long.
You're not wearing anything that's orange.
No, and you know I didn't on purpose. And then I walk in here, and what do I see? I see an orange couch and an orange floor. And yes. I thought you were trying to copy me.
Yeah, we did. We did pull that page right out of your orange playbook.
Yes, you did. You installed it last night for me, since you know I was filling in for Teresa.
Tracy, we met several years ago when we were doing this sort of ongoing campaign to see who would replace the irreplaceable. I can't remember her fucking name. She was so fucking bad on our radio show. What the hell is her name?
Brian, please. You know her name.
Yeah.
Rachel Perry.
I blocked her name out.
Rachel Perry.
Jews probably block out Himmler or something like that. She was so goddamn awful. And the reason I say that is because she was a bitch. Like, she wasn't just bad on the air. She was just a bad person. Bald Brian, am I exaggerating when I say that?
She was very pleasant to me, but she was awful on the air.
And
unpleasant on the air.
Unpleasant, bad on the air, and sort of bad to everyone around her, I would say. Not a delight.
Somebody said something to me one time. I was interviewing, auditioning, whatever, for a job. And they said, half the battle in getting a job is not whether you're good enough. It's, are we going to enjoy hanging out with you for 18 hours on set?
Right.
And, you know, if they're a douche, who would hang out with a douche?
Oh, a douche would have been a nice upgrade from Rachel Perry.
I've never met the girl.
I would have loved just to have an empty douche bottle sitting in front of a microphone to my right for those 6 months that felt like 9 fucking years of my life. God, she was bad. But I, again, probably had some issues with dad or something like that. And you know how that stuff worked with the ladies. I believe that Tracy Metro was probably the first runner-up. I hope this isn't revisionist history.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes, I think Teresa Strasser inevitably got the gig, but Tracy Metro, I remember liking quite a bit. And I don't know why. I thought she was a little bit nutty. She wore orange all the time. But again, smart, pick a color, pick a team, or pick an animal. That's what I tell people all the time. And then when I'm picking out your birthday present, I don't have to pick my brain.
Yeah. Done, you know, and done, I mean? You know.
Your exact words were, hey, she's no Claudia DeFalco. She's all right.
Yeah.
Who the hell is that?
She was another one in the running.
One of the chicks that was in the running.
Here's what happened. I remember because it was me.
Okay.
You guys apparently, and I only found this out when it was nearing the end, were like, I guess, mid-contract with Teresa, and I had come in not knowing that there was actually really even a search.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard that things had been changing. I didn't know there was, like, an official search, so I just sent my stuff over, and evidently, I came in the day that contracts had been signed, but Teresa was off doing another job, and that's how the whole thing kind of went south with her hating me.
Yeah, but she hates herself, to be fair.
How about you leave the joking to Adam?
She hates. I mean, here's the whole thing. It's like all comedians hate each other. All women hate each other.
Not true.
All doctors hate each other. Dr. Drew hates it. You know, he'd kick the shit out of Dr. Oz the second he saw him. He hates all doctors. He hates Dr. J. He hates Dr. Brown's, the guy who makes that root
Great
beer.
Great soda.
Great soda at the deli. He just hates anything with a doctor in front of it. So that's how guys are. And, you know, women get a little territorial. But, you know, I thought you did a great job. And I'm looking forward to another stellar performance by by Tracy
Metro.
I've
already shaken it out. I'm like, I'm here. I'm ready.
All right. Bill Burr's waiting in the wings. Bald Brian is waiting on his 360 sound machine. Bill, good to see you, my brother. Yeah, always a delight. Bill is going to be playing tomorrow night at the Egg in Albany, and we're talking about the Egg. You formerly just opened for people at the Egg.
Yeah, big time acts at the Egg, and now finally I get to go there and see if I can sell more tickets than the guy who sweeps up the place. But I think the tickets are actually selling well. I just had a special come out, so
sure. How many people does the Egg hold?
I think like 800 or 900.
We're
up to 700.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So I just got to push through the last 200.
Ah, you'll make it and walk up.
Yeah, that's right. Come out there with my Elvis scarf on. Tell my last joke. Wipe off the sweat. Throw it in the crowd. And
now,
I'm done.
How much time were you due at the Egg?
Probably like 1 hour and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And will you have someone open for you?
Yeah, Joe DeRosa.
I don't know who that is.
Joe DeRosa, he's the teen idol of this next generation.
Really?
Really good-looking guy.
Oh. No, easy
actually,
on the eyes.
No, he isn't. He's missing pig? Shoulders. Wow. He's not even missing shoulders. You just know the meat in between your neck and your shoulder. Yeah. He doesn't really have those collarbones. Whatever the collarbone meat is attached to, he doesn't have it.
Yeah, no traps.
Yeah, there you go. He's trapless. Yeah. But he's got plenty of jokes. He's actually one of my best friends in this business, so I'm psyched to work with him.
And now, how does it work? You give him a little taste of the door?
Absolutely. I'm generous. I'm not one of those tightwads who makes you go down the street and stay at a Super 8. You stay in the same hotel with me.
Right.
And then we booze it up afterwards. It's a good
time. Yeah. Oh, speaking of comics and boozing up, Greg Giraldo passed away. That was going to be one of Tracy's stories, I guess, coming up. We, by the way, will replay our podcast with Greg, I believe, for Monday is how we're going to do that. Was he a friend of yours? Did you know him?
Yeah, I've known him for like 15 years. I still, I'm just kind of in the shock state of it.
He was a really, I didn't know him well. He did the podcast a few times. He kicked ass on those roasts.
Yeah.
It was really just a really funny guy. And then an interesting guy, wasn't he? Was like his mixed ethnicity, and someone was a scientist or a professor or something.
He went to Harvard.
Did he really?
He grew up in New York when New York was New York when it was like.
I think his dad worked for the airlines or something. I'm just piecing these things together. But he went to Harvard. He got a law degree. He's a really accomplished, smart, interesting guy.
Yeah, and then became a comedian and was. Killing it. He was like a comic. We all used to watch him. And if he had a special, we'd all watch his specials. And he was just a great guy. And I can't believe it. And when I heard the news that he was in a coma, I was just like, all right, this is going to be it. This is going to be the thing that turns him around. And because I live out here on the West Coast, I don't see him that much anymore. So I'm just kind of feeling like he's just on the road right now. And it's an awful, awful thing.
It's that sort of Mitch Hedberg thing. Like, Jesus, why do the, these guys go?
It's never the hacks.
I know.
Themselves too. You just don't hear it.
Yeah.
He was really young, 44 years old. And according to his representation, it was not a suicide attempt.
No.
But that he OD'd and his drug of choice was prescription drugs. And, of course, he's best known for Last Comic Standing, where he's just so likable. Good-looking guy.
And but he was clean for a while, right? I mean,
I know he struggled with it, and he's a great guy. He was a great comedian. That's all I know. I don't know any of the details of it, but other than it's just shocking. Absolutely shocking.
And it's so weird how people are wired, and this is... Basically, what I'm going to tell my kid? I'm going to tell my kid, look, you can fuck around with drugs, but you may be a Fiat or you may be a Jeep, but you don't fucking know. I mean, you may be Len Bias or you may be my buddy Chris. My buddy Chris, did an 8-ball, heart stopped, had to get the whole, Pulp Fiction adrenaline thing jammed into him. My buddy Chris is one of these guys. He's like, he's half a wine. He's, should have been dead 30 different times with the coke
all those
and
years
the speed.
Out
and,
on the, with the kayak.
Yeah.
Up against the waves, man.
Paddling that wooden boat while the theme from Y5O played in the background. No, he's been run over. One of the few guys I know has been run over intentionally. Like somebody aimed their car at him and ran him over. He could have been dead 10 times, but he's just not. He's just one of those guys. And then there's like Len Bias. Like, okay, signs a big contract signs a big contract with the Celtics, right?
Yep.
And goes out and does a little partying that night and dead at 22 or 21 or whatever.
Well, I mean, that was the story. That was the first time. But I don't think he just...
I'm not saying he signed a contract
and go like, yeah, I think I'll go freebase.
No, I'm not saying it was the first time.
Yeah.
I'm saying maybe it was the 25th time.
Right.
But my buddy Chris...
Right.
You could put two zeros on the 25 and you could add another couple of pounds of coke and he's still fine.
Right.
He's fine. Right. And sometimes you take a bunch of prescription drugs and you do whatever, you hear the rock and roll lifestyle and you hear about the Ozzy Osbourne stories and you hear about, what Tommy Lee guy and all these guys did. And the rest of the guys from Motley Crue, Nikki Sixx or whatever. It's like, they're fine. And then there's Len Bias
right.
or Greg Giraldo. And Danny Bonaducci. Yeah, see, that's a shame. Toronto gone, but Bonaducci's going to be doing mornings at Philly tomorrow. The point is this. I'm really going to tell my kid, like, hey, listen, man, you could do a fucking pillowcase of coke and be around tomorrow, or you could do two lines and fucking...
You're done.
Going to cardiac arrest.
Yeah, it's and probably better just to tell him not to do it in general because, yeah.
If I tell him that, he might do it. That's my thing. And here's the thing. I've asked Dr. Drew about this a million times. You don't know how someone's wired. Meaning, like, you know, Len Bias was a world-class athlete.
Well, I have to tell you that what little I knew about what was going on, like, I just somehow I knew Greg. Like, I didn't believe... I was surprised when I always heard he had a problem because he was never... I never really saw him out of it. He was such a bright guy. And I can't believe I'm talking about him in the past tense, but it was just... it's still just a total shock. I mean, I don't know, man. It's one of those that can happen to anybody. I'm like one of those people, like, because I don't struggle with addiction. I was always confused by it. But just seeing somebody, you know, as talented as that guy, as smart as that guy, lose to it is just really shows you, I don't know what they call it, disease, whatever they call it. But it's the pull of it is incredible.
You know, sometimes when guys are really high IQ guys, they can get away with doing stuff. Like, there's guys that are... It's that sort of Lawrence Taylor syndrome, which is they're such great athletes and they're right. So good at what they do that they can go out whoring and drugging the night before the fucking Super Bowl and still get 2.5 sacks on Sunday. Like,
they know their limitations.
Well, not only that, but they don't have, like, Greg Giraldo, maybe the guy's so bright, maybe the guy's so funny. I've met him a few times. We had him in here. It never seemed like anything was going on with him versus when you'd see...
Well, it wasn't like now that this Courtney has happened, Love. People are going to act Love, like he was you. A guy who was always out of it, and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. He just had a couple of periods, like he'd go on a bad run, and then he would be fine. And like when I left New York, he had a sponsor and everything, and he was sober, and he looked great. And I didn't hear any stories about him missing gigs or anything, and right. It wasn't until like the last 6 months that I heard that maybe he was starting to get in rough shape again. But you know, I just hope with people seeing this that they're not gonna that he's gonna get defined like he was this guy nodding off on corners. He was in clubs absolutely destroying, and all of us comics, we all watched him and have nothing but respect for him. That's
no,
what
I
just
never,
sucks about something
I
like
never
this
even
happened,
heard
yeah.
that about him. But
and he just the way they found him is that he failed to appear at a gig. And then a friend went over and found him.
Yeah, he's supposed to be at the Stress Factor.
Yeah. Anna Nicole Smith could not get away with doing drugs. That's right. What I'm saying. Like, you know, like, oh, my God, something's up with this person. Maybe Giraldo, sadly, was sharp enough to do it. But, again, I never saw it, and I never heard it.
Like I said, it was just so people don't start painting the guy out like he was this dude on the corner.
I don't think they're going to, because I'm naive.
Yeah.
But I don't have a drug problem. I have a red wine problem.
I think he had a couple of bad stretches, and this was the last one he had, and it ended up like this. But other than that, he was a total professional. And like I said, he's like one of the, you know, comedians. We don't laugh at anything, but he's one of those guys. If I knew he was coming up and he was on stage, I would always watch him because it was just A-list material. It wasn't hacky. He just was, you know, had his own voice. And yeah, it just sucks.
Sad. Yep. And again, Mitch Hedberg. Like, as a matter of fact, you know what? I don't want to. Bill Burr, not a fan. Because every time I announce, I normally just hate stand-up comedians. But once I go, that guy's funny, it's like, oh, did you hear what happened to Bill Burr? Yeah, so it's bad.
That's with me, like with musicians. Everybody, John Bonham, Stevie Ray Vaughan I was into.
Sure.
It's just like, never seen. But I think that was a good point, that I don't think that the hacks, when they die, I don't think anybody gives a shit, so nobody tweets about it or writes an article.
That one guy from Milli Vanilli who killed himself. I was always into the one guy.
Is that Rob or Fab?
I was into Rob. Oh, okay. Fab was a hack, but Rob, he was an
artist.
Dude, that guy,
he shouldn't have killed himself. He just waited a little bit longer. He would have been fine, because back in the day when we were coming up, when you were finished in show business, you were finished, and now you can just do a show about being finished. You can just do a show about it. Look at me, I'm finished.
Right.
Right.
Like, that's why I think Kathy Griffin is a genius. Right. She has her own TV show saying she's on the D list. It's like, right. You have a hit television show. You're killing it.
Right.
It's a hit. There you go. Exactly.
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, look. Look, you could either go see Dr. Drew, or you could pack on 20 pounds and do some sort of celebrity chub club, whatever it is, or just get your own reality show where you attempt to get your career back. You know, we follow MC Hammer around. He sees if we can get a record contract. Yeah, get a makeover. I mean, there's so many fucking channels now. It's impossible
to adopt a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Just sprinkle them around you and just shrug your shoulders like that'll be the promo picture. What did I do? You remember this person from Eight is Enough.
This fall, Saturdays, MC Hammer.
Yeah. Now, was it Rob or Fab who took his own...
Who knows?
Took his own life. Was it Millie or Vanilli? Yeah, but yeah, there's no reason to do that anymore. Not with Dr. Drew. That's for goddamn sure. Yeah. All right, so Bill, let's talk about
lighter subjects.
Lighter subjects. This whole these miners that are trapped over there in Paraguay, boy,
are they still
37
down
souls, 2 miles beneath the no. They're still down there.
Dropping school lunches down to them every
day. They slide
cigarettes.
The hot pockets and cigarettes down there. And
they watched like soccer or something.
Yeah. Now, see, I would have a sense of humor. First off, my buddy Ray would definitely throw a rat down that thing for fun, or he would. There's no doubt he'd be farting down that thing. Just hear.
I would be the guy losing my shit, and people would have to shake my shoulders. For Christ's sake, get yourself together! Those 1950s backhands to my face. I would go nuts down there after a while. Like, let's just fucking dig ourselves out already.
Well, the 1950s were a great time because you could backhand a woman and she would thank you.
You could backhand her and then have sex with her. Right. That was considered calming her nerves.
Yeah. Give her, and also there was a, also if whatever ailed you, you could get a shot of brandy. Like, you could have a piece of rebar sticking out of your side and you'd be like, I've impaled myself on this rebar. Hold on. Take a nip of this.
Yeah, this will help your nerves. You know, if you watch old reruns of Mary Tyler Moore, whenever Mary came in freaking out, like at work, Lou Grant was like, Mary, relax, relax, have a drink. And he had a bottle of scotch, and the bottom of his desk drawer was totally considered.
Oh, it was fine.
Two martini lunches.
It was weird that people would pull. I mean, not only would gumshoes do it, but editors of newspapers or anyone who had a corner office, even cops, even commanding officers, they would open a desk drawer. It would be laying down in a shallow one. They just pull it out. Come on, here we go. And they pour themselves a couple of. You need a belt. You look like you use a belt.
They always try to get
warm. Yeah, it wasn't on the rocks.
It was basically, anytime you had a tough decision to make, because there was no self-help books, you just took a belt.
Yeah,
and you just went with your gut.
And it didn't matter what day it was or what time it was. Looks like you could use a pop. The other one that'll never happen again, which is. I used to love it when Darren would come home on any of those 60s, 50s, or 60s shows. The guy would come home from work. He'd have a tough day at work. Mr. Tate's riding him like a mule.
And
He'd need to make himself a highball. He'd need a cocktail. Yeah. And he'd walk. And here's what I loved. This, by the way, I know this probably never happened in real life, but it still gets me pissed at my wife because there's no way she would do this. The guy'd walk right in the front door. He'd throw his briefcase down. He'd loosen his tie up. And then he'd walk right over to the bar. And the bar was sometimes the mobile one with the little wheels on it, whatever. Walk right over the bar, pull the lid off the ice bucket. The ice bucket would be brimming with fresh ice. He'd take that tongs, he'd drop in a couple of things into a snifter, he'd pour himself some scotch and walk into the kitchen. Honey, I'm home and I'm done. Who the fuck is filling that thing? I've almost got divorced over who's going to water the fucking pots at our house about 300 times. I can't imagine walking home. By the way, she doesn't know when he's coming home. He comes home at all times of the fucking day. Comes home late after a big business meeting.
Doesn't even say hello. It's immediately to the bar. I need a shot of this before I get
And it's overflowing with ice. Not one of them is melted. Just brand new. Like every 15 minutes, she must empty the thing out and refill it on the off chance he's going to come home and want a highball.
He was living the dream.
Oh, my God.
That just sounded like paradise to me. I'd love to have one of those bars.
Now, I open that thing. A moth comes out. It smells like mildew. There's no fresh ice.
I don't even have a bar. I just have, like, bottles of liquor on our breakfast table. That's all I have.
I had a...
They had the right glass, a highball glass, a martini glass.
Yeah, they'd get the right glass. I had the... I made something up, and it's one of those... you know, I made something up called Mangria the other day.
Ooh.
Where I just... And it's one of those... I don't want to turn into Jeff Foxworthy here, but why couldn't he be gone and, you know, Greg still be around or Mitch still be around? But I made something called Mangria, and it's one of those... Here's how you know you're an alcoholic. I have a couple of pops at night before I go to bed, and I was out of red wine, but I sort of walked back into the kitchen, and I had about 2 sips of red wine at the bottom of my glass, but no more red wine. But I was not done drinking.
You got to improvise.
And I just walked into the pantry, grabbed a bottle of vodka, and just topped off my red wine thing with it, and it sort of looked good.
Track.
It did, yeah. It served its purpose. Did you
cut it with anything besides a little bit of red wine?
I didn't even put ice in it, and I dubbed it Mangria, which now made it all of a sudden. If it's a drink, by the way, if you call lantern oil and nail polish, if you give it a name like a Happy Jack or something, then you can drink it. If it's just nail polish remover, you got your fucking Betty Ford
or some sort of sex position.
Right,
the girls were all
right eating pussy on the couch.
Yeah,
or something.
Reverse cowboy pussy on the couch, something like that. They'll somehow drink it.
Yeah, so I just dumped my vodka in on top of my red wine. I walked back in the den, ended up finished watching SportsCenter.
That was a logical choice. When you said you were going to cut it with another liquor, I was immediately like, clear. You got to go clear with that.
Yeah. It made a sort of rosé, like a high-octane rosé out of my red wine, and I was fine with that.
Trying to think what I would have put in it. Maybe some fruit to, really make it,
But that's the whole point. I think the fruit, the umbrellas, the ice, that's all the foreplay. We just want to fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
You know
what
I mean? We just want to catch a buzz. You know, if we can eat pussy, we can drink Mangria.
True.
Sounds much like the taste of good wine.
No, I don't know the taste of good wine, and I don't care.
I know one good wine,
and I buzz.
I order every time a Barolo. That's the only thing I will order, and then for half a second, the waiter raises his eyebrows and thinks that I know what I'm doing, and then starts spewing out wine knowledge, and then I'm just like, yeah, I got nothing.
I just
knew.
I just hear cha-ching like whenever I go. Give me a Pinot Noir. That's all I ever... And they go, oh, we have something in from Spain that's like, oh, we just had an import. Oh, there's something from the... I go, just give me the house. Because the problem is you can't ask how much. They'll just tell you, oh, we have a delightful whatever selection, and they'll...
Whatever year it is, you just divide by two. That's usually...
Really?
So on the menu, when you're with friends and you're ordering a bottle of wine, do you just... Screw on the left-hand column. Do you just go immediately to the right for the cheapest thing?
I just go, look, everyone just order up, buy the glass, or order your drink. And if I'm paying, I'm paying. But the buy the bottle, pretending like you know, seriously, Fetzer is good enough for $7.99 over Trader Joe's. I can't tell the difference.
I've never had the balls to send the wine back. I do the whole thing. You spin it with your finger.
I just did that.
You sniff it. You actually sent it back?
Just did it a couple weeks ago.
Really?
The wine was bad.
I've done it.
Had it gone bad or was it? Oh,
it was
okay.
Corked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm a wine snob. So I got the wine, took a sip, this is not good, sent it back.
You're educated with wine. You don't have to call yourself a snob.
Yeah.
That's just all us beer drinking morons.
Yeah. I like beer.
I don't like red wine. I like one glass of it, but it gives me a brutal hangover.
Really?
Yeah. And I also equate it with really drunk girls. Like after shows, they always come up and their teeth are sort of pink now.
Right.
But it could be that a red cheap wine. Shit. If you're drinking the cheap shit, you can get more of a hangover than a heartier wine.
Oh. Well, I find even on the good stuff. My Barolo, the one that I know.
step up to the Mangria.
Yeah, there you go. I would do that. Sit there and laugh at how stupid it is. Have a great guy moment.
We
shouldn't be doing this. Let's put on sports.
Should we play a little blah, blah, blog, by the way? Wow.
That was...
The following is a presentation of Jeremiah Weed.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of booze.
It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right. How many do we have, Dawson?
We have 5 blogs. We were thinking we'd play the first to 3 wins.
All right.
If anybody gets to 3 at the same time, we have a tiebreaker.
Sure, let's do it.
All right. When married couples split up and one person makes more money than the other, often somebody ends up paying alimony, and it's usually the man. But legally, under state laws, both women and men are entitled to financial support if there's a large discrepancy in spousal income. In the past, not many men have had the need or the nerve to ask their wives for alimony. However, recently there's been a move toward gender equality. A lot more men are asking for alimony, or as some people call it, manimony. I say, if you're entitled to money, ask for it.
Tom Likas.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Alec Baldwin, Pat Sajak, or Donald Trump?
Oh, all right. Wow, I was thinking Kevin Federline.
Yeah, all right, you guys are not going to suck me in. Every time I get sucked in.
With the obvious, right?
No, I get sucked in with the wild card. I get sucked in with the... Every time I go, why is Pat Sajak saying this? Why would he be included in these group of 2 guys who might say this? Where does this guy factor in? And then I go, must be him, because otherwise, why would you throw him in? I get burned every time. Fuck Pat Sajak. Not going for him.
Pat's a hard one because Pat is just a great punchline anyways.
Yeah.
Just to throw him in on something like this, not disrespecting his game show.
Trump sounds like kind of... Oh, Jesus.
I'm going Alec Baldwin.
Going Baldwin?
I'm going
Baldwin.
I had to jump in.
I'm not going Baldwin because he's already gotten trashed just for yelling at his kid like a normal parent.
Right.
And so I don't think he needs any more heat like this. Just the look on Donald Trump's face, I think that... And he's paying... God knows he's paying
but
a ton of
really
alimony.
Do you really think he's coming up with the word manimony?
Mm. Well, I'm not saying he doesn't have writers. I'm going to go with Donald Trump.
All right, you're going Trump. I'm going fucking Baldwin, too.
I'm Baldwin. Sajak. Here comes
Sajak. It's absolutely Sajak.
Because they're fucking
with me? That's my guess.
Oh,
okay. I don't know. It's not
because they're fucking with me.
It's not written passionately enough for Baldwin or
I know.
I think he's right because those two are really entrapment. Trump and Baldwin.
Baldwin's
just
a more passionate writer in this. All right. Let's just do it. We've all made our selections. Yeah.
The blog belongs to Donald Trump.
Oh. Damn.
Bill Burr on the board.
Damn.
Bill Burr on the board.
I got nervous there for a second. I was like, he doesn't blog.
And he also doesn't write the word manimony.
Yeah, he doesn't. He wears loafers and acts like he's rich. Right. I don't think that guy could really scrape together $7,000 in cash. And I think he's just leveraged.
You're probably right.
Can I say this, too? You know you're a fucking knob when something that's as mildly amusing as manimony we can't attribute to you. Manimony. If Bill Burr came up with manimony, I'd be like, maybe if you're doing a 20-minute set, I wouldn't use it. If you got to do an hour and 20, then I could see you working it in the middle of the set somewhere. But
I would retire if I ever came up with something like
don't
that.
Don't put it on a coffee mug. But you know you're a fucking knob when you come up with something that would be a 4 or 5 in the clever department. We're all going, I don't think he could have thought of that.
Right.
All right, here we go. Bill Burr on the board.
I think maybe he was just nice quoting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Bill Burr and Tracy Metro back in 2010. Let's get on with another live show featuring one of my favorite live show guests, Fitzdog.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 556, featuring Greg Fitzsimmons, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop from April of 2011. Another live show. A little bit of them on stage riffing, a little bit of the news. Check it out.
Live from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bites, this is the news. With Allison Rosen.
There's no laughing at the beginning of my news.
I'm sorry, Mary Tyler Moore.
There's no laughing in the middle of it.
There's no talking after the laughing. God. A couple quick announcements. I wanted to remind everyone about our new features. We have One Man's Opinion, which is Adam talking about politics, and then also Face to Face with Ace, which is the best of our interview segments. And these are new and available every week on HuffingtonPost.com/comedy. So go there and watch them, please.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I wanted to let everyone know, I've been getting a lot of tweets from people wondering what's going on with the Tournament of Rosen, We have not forgotten about it. It is still going on. We have been trying to coordinate the dates with the two finalists, and there's been some complications.
Well, plus, Allison had to get her pussy back from the Armenian guy that was using it as an ashtray.
Yeah, the guys, it was a deal breaker.
I was like,
apparently.
Okay, I need it. I need it now.
Yeah, and no. It is, let me finish cigar, and then you take. You come back tomorrow. I clean for you. I clean. I douche.
I'm like,
I take the coin up car wash and douche for you.
They are actually
are
often carpet cleaners.
Are you going to charge me extra for that? I'm like, here's the claim ticket. And then I just like, waiting for all the, for it to roll around on the big conveyor
hold on.
Thing,
you talk
know?
To Cousin Avi. Avi! Yes, hold on. He's, But he's using your asshole to plant bulbs. Hold on. Avi! Yes?
I don't want to be rude, but I mean, it's been 2 weeks.
That day, you know what? I clean, I put a coat of carnauba wax on for you. Yes. Come back
that's
tomorrow.
That's what you said last time.
I freshen up. It has a new snatch smell when I'm done. You know what?
But I'm tired of using this loner.
I repair hymen. No charge. New hymen. No charge. Brand new Hyman.
Meanwhile, Hyman is his nephew's name.
Hey, Hyman! Avi, Hyman! Sorry, where were
we? I don't want to go through losing it again.
No, it is not. It's good. I put it under pillow. It go nowhere. And sometimes on top of pillow. Hey, you know? It is okay. I guard like my own vagina.
It comes with pine freshener on it when I give back to you.
Yes. I wear on penis like Laurel. Yes,
just
like a 1 Indy 500.
Just make sure to dry it off before I get it back. So, yeah, now that I have that back, Tournament of Rosen is still happening, and I will be making an announcement of the winner at the next live show here.
Yes. Wow. You keep busy in mind, yes? Yeah. I already have vagina. We're halfway home. Just bring the rest of you. That's all.
Now on stage two.
Hey, everybody, it is Izzy. Hey, welcome. Come on down. Have wine cooler. Stage three, Allison's vagina. Yes. Clean up aisle four. Sorry.
I'm just trying to think what my vagina's stripper name would be.
Touched
by Armenian.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yes.
As you guys might or might not know. Yeah,
that vagina keeps mouthing off. I give it fat lip. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I prefer the term bee stung. Rejuvenated. Obama released the long-form birth certificate.
That foreign bastard.
Document today. Because he said that we're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
Mm-hmm.
So he just felt like all this birther nonsense, if you want to call it that, was distracting from more pressing issues. Prior to this, AIDS had distributed a shorter version of the birth certificate, which is the version that officials in Hawaii normally give out. So this thing that he showed today is not something that people normally see.
Colossal. No, it's actually a placenta with a lei around it.
Yeah.
Right.
Colossal waste of time, by the way. You know, you say what you want about, you know, Saddam Hussein or, you know, Muammar Gaddafi or any of these guys, but if this shit happened to them, they'd be like, my birth certificate? Hey, you know what? I'm sorry, that's a great idea. What's your name again? Tim? Hit. Just pull out a .45, put it under the guy's chin. Yeah. All right, anyone else need to see my birth certificate?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's move on with raping and pillaging. Yeah. All right, let's get back to work here, people.
It's like he's already on the field trip. We don't need the permission slip anymore.
Right, he's there. We're at the museum.
Well,
we don't need
the
permission from
us. Is there anyone who is a birther who changed their mind today upon seeing this, or are they just like, oh, this is just more of that, you know, hoax where he's going to slowly fuck up the country by gently disappointing everyone?
I know. It's like the quiet storm. It's
right.
like
what heist is he pulling off exactly if this whole thing is the conspiracy that people think it is?
I don't know, but is there any... If you brought Joe Rogan to the moon, would he admit that no one has ever been to the moon or that someone has been to the moon? You know what I mean?
I'm not going to sit here and talk shit about a guy with an octagon.
I feel like
He also has a deprivation tank, sensory deprivation tank.
I feel like once the guys, once you dig in, whether it's the Twin Towers all being blown up by Navy SEALs, or whether it's, you know, Spike Lee saying that the levees were destroyed by the Navy SEALs, or whether it's with Joe Rogan saying, never, Ed Asner talking right. about how 9/11 never happened, or whatever it is, whatever fucked up theory you have, once you dig in, you're just in. And the more information that people, or the more facts that people present, the further you dig in. Those guys
are
never
you,
come around.
Are you talking about the Christian church and carbon dating right now, Adam Carolla?
Yes, I am.
I mean, because there was a point where factually, right now, you can go through the Bible and go to every fucking fact and go, this is not true. This is not true. But what are you going to do? Get rid of all these crosses?
Right.
And all these buildings? I mean, all the jewelry alone you would have to scrap.
Sure.
So you dig in and you go, well, it's what is it when they say it happened, but it was divinely inspired?
Bullshit. It's a lateral move. I understand. I mean, I understand once you believe in something, you can't stop. Look, it's like a woman being in love with a guy, finds out the guy was out killing hookers. He goes to prison for life, and she still continues to visit him, even though he was out raping and killing hookers. Sweetie, are you listening? I'm just saying, that's devotion. You know what I mean?
Right, no, they're devoted.
Whatever, we dig in. We have our teams. You know what I mean? I was a Rams fan. They fucking moved to St. Louis. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, move to St. Louis or just screw the Rams. The point is you have your beliefs, you dig in, and that's it. Sad, but true.
Okay.
So do you think it's a mistake that he released this, though?
What did Rogan do?
How high are you?
Mm.
No, because, I mean, Obama is hoping that by releasing this, we can, as a nation,
this is
a yearbook photo, move on.
I don't like, you know, call me old-fashioned, but I like the president to have a little sort of regalness to them, and some asswipe with a bad comb over screaming, give me this. You should not, like, the deal is, you should not be going and playing the saxophone on late night shows. You shouldn't be sitting down with Oprah. There should be no, you know, things where you're on MTV.
Boxers
or briefs on fucking MTV. Shut the fuck up. I mean, I want you somewhere where I can't find you wearing a suit. I don't want to see you shooting hoops with, iced tea or something. You know what I mean?
Well, it's because America says we don't want any Washington insiders. Yeah, let's get outsiders. Let's get people that have no fucking idea how politics work. That seems like a good candidate to me.
Yeah, well,
like the son of Bush.
I will tell you this. A vote for me is a message to the fat cats in Washington. That much I can promise you right now, people.
I didn't even know you were on the ballot.
I don't know either. But the point is I want my fucking president to be the president. Like, I don't want to see his NCAA brackets. I don't want him chewing the fat with Tyler Perry. I don't want any of that bullshit. I want the guy just to be the fucking president. You can fuck a celebrity every once in a while, and if anyone says anything, we'll kill you. That's the way it is.
Yeah,
those were the good old days.
It
so
was.
Then Trump released a statement or was on TV saying a bunch of stuff, and we have that clip. Mm. Taking credit, basically, for what happened.
All right. Over on, under on how long it takes him to work in Wharton School of Business.
Good morning. Today, I'm very proud of myself. Because
what?
I've accomplished something that nobody else has.
Yesterday
been able
felt like shit about himself, but today.
I was just informed.
He made a duty. He's very proud of himself.
That our president has finally released a birth certificate. I'd want to look at it, but I hope it's true, so that we can get onto much more important matters, so the press can stop asking me questions. He should have done it a long time ago. Why he didn't do it when the Clintons asked for it, why he didn't do it when everybody else was asking for it, I don't know. But I am really honored, frankly, to have played such a big role in hopefully getting rid of this issue. Now, we have to look at it. We have to see, is it real?
Oh, my God.
The blowhardometer is like pegging now at like 9,000 RPM. I also,
what's the we? Who the fuck? How did he become we?
Him and his genitalia. Number one. Number two, I don't like it when people interview themselves. That's my thing. Why didn't he release this earlier? Why did he not make this public record years ago when he was running for president? Why did he not divulge it when the Clintons asked?
Great question.
I don't know. All right. Why you ask yourself questions since you don't have the answer to?
I don't stop yelling at me.
Right. Yes. Me, stop asking me questions that I don't know. Ask me more basic questions like how tall are you?
Yeah.
And me. Yes.
Oh, man. I really feel like he played it wrong. Like you said, he shouldn't have brought it out. If you're playing poker and your opponent keeps raising, and you know you got the fucking cards.
Right.
You wait until the week before election.
Right.
And then you reveal your full house.
Read them and
let
weep,
him
bitch.
Fucking keep. Yes. Let him keep banging that drum. He doesn't have the birth certificate. We're gonna win this election. He doesn't have the birth certificate. Week before, got the birth certificate.
Right. Here's what I would like to see happen. I would like my dear friend Alec Baldwin to pack on about another 65 pounds. I would like him to grow a major league beard and really go old school with the vest and the pocket watch.
Van Buren style.
Yeah, charging, basically challenging people to duels and saying, good day! Good day to you! You know, top hat.
Yeah.
Monocle that he could drop into his cocktail when he was really shocked or upset, you know? Doing this thing where whenever he met a foreign dignitary, shook his hand, but real hard, you know, and stared into his eyes.
Syphilis.
And, sir, my word is my bond. Yeah. Yeah, syphilis. He's dying of syphilis. But just a super husky, bearded Alec Baldwin, just as the face of America. You know what I mean?
Fuck the cat in the White House. He's hunting on the lawn.
The greatest role of his life, because I'm tired of these fucking spindly dudes. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Barack, he doesn't look. He looks like the kind of guy you throw your keys to him when you pulled up in front of a restaurant in Malibu. Oh! I'm sorry. Oh. I want some fucking meat on the... That's not race. Look, I may be racist, but that's not a race. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not racist. Hold on. Let me interview myself. Are you racist? No. Okay. The point is this. I did a hard-hitting interview with myself. The point is this. I don't want any guy that goes about $1.65 running the country. I want a big, robust guy with a pocket watch who's so fat, by the way. He's so fat, he can't get the pocket watch out of his vest.
Yeah.
He has too much chest. It's just too barrelly a chest. Like, I cannot remove this pocket watch from my chest, sir.
And garters.
And garters.
Fucking
and spats.
Fucking garters.
Spats.
A slave.
That's right. A couple slaves run. I mean, what? Sorry, where was I?
Where does one even purchase spats these days? Online?
Yeah, you got to go online. Yeah. And if you do, go through Amazon and click through AdamCarolla.com. And here's the deal. Who would vote for a super fat, bearded Alec Baldwin? Yeah. Right. With every speech ending with, I said good day!
You should coach him. Coach his campaign.
I could work on him.
Mm-hmm. I think I got a vice presidential candidate on the ticket.
Who do we got?
Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Every rally, he's in the octagon.
Then we won't have to learn about that moon bullshit in school anymore.
I'm just saying that a lot of these backward nations we're dealing with, a lot of these crazy fucked up backwards nations, they're insane, but I think their leaders sort of judge our leaders as sort of one-on-one. They don't factor in our military that could crush them overnight. They're sort of like, I think I could take this dude.
Yeah.
Thus, I should shit on your country. They don't factor in the stealth bombers and the F-22 Raptors and the fucking... the pilotless drones that will just rain hellfire missiles on their fucking compounds. That they don't factor in. They go, this guy looks kind of like a wuss. I bet I could kick his ass. That's why I went to super husky Alec Baldwin in there.
I like it.
And possibly Daniel Baldwin as the vice president, just for fun. You know what I mean? Too big. Yeah. All right. When you just got to put on some weight. Listen, here it is. Daniel, drop 30. Alec, pick it up and put it on. There you go. President, vice president. Thank you. Where were we?
You can never be too high. If I was going to answer that question, that's what I would say.
A woman from Monterrey, Mexico, is suing Continental Airlines for misplacing her dead husband's body.
Wow.
In a lawsuit filed earlier this month, Martha Elena Flores Cura and her niece, Ludovina Rivera, claim Continental Airlines lost the remains of her common-law husband, Humberto Rivera, while transporting his casket from Atlanta to Texas in August 2009.
Well, common law. I mean, come on.
Sure, they weren't really in love.
Yeah, ain't no paperwork there.
Yeah. It's lazy.
I got to tell you,
that was a poor choice of words.
I went to Cabo San Lucas on a little fishing trip, pulled up a 50-pound Dorado, by the way, and then watched a barefoot guy beat the shit out of it with a baseball bat. It's just like, I'm the biggest pussy in the world. I turned to a chick, like, what the fuck do we do with this fish? It's on our boat. He's like, you hit it with the bat. And I'm like, oh, God, it's like Goodfellas. Like, holy shit. The one thing that I found interesting is I flew Aeromexico to Cabo, and as the plane was taking off and the very old DC-10 was taking off, I shit you not, thankfully I was drunk and I was sort of in the back of the plane, I didn't give a shit, but as the plane took a steep incline up into the Wild Blue Yonder, the captain's door was flapping open, like literally just like a saloon door, just like this slapping against the bathroom door, and I thought, wow, I love Mexico. And then I thought, wait a minute. We're not in Mexico yet. We still plenty of time to turn around and crash into the Arco building. We're not over international waters. We're still just clearing El Segundo at this point. I thought somehow the rules didn't apply, but I thought maybe they should apply when they're over our airspace. Call me old-fashioned.
Well,
international. The fucking door. Why? I mean, I was this close to them just hanging beads, you know, there, like the pilots, like the cockpit was a swinging pad from the 60s, like the door flapping open. Oh, the only way, but I'll tell you, actually smart, because the terrorist would have been like, I'm going to go blow this up. No, it's a trap. There's no way. There's no way. They couldn't be this big a fuck up. Believe me, there's a guy waiting there. Believe me, I know how this goes. Don't do it. Don't do it.
So I don't understand the problem. The guy's dead. I mean, how many cultures? You're dead. You're
all
dead.
Oh,
you're,
no, we're all value. Deeply religious. They're all fucking. Are you kidding me?
The body. It's the body of a dead guy.
Are you
it's
fucking
gone.
Kidding now, me? People look, go nuts. They won't even let you, you know, take an organ. You know what I mean? I mean, people go nuts with that stuff. I mean, they have the big mausoleums and the caskets are $5,000. I mean, come on.
I like the Hindu. They just take you. They throw you on a bonfire, and they throw fruit on you for the trip.
Yeah.
That's the way you want to go?
I'd like to be put in a giant incinerator. Great name for a garbage disposal, isn't it? Yeah, it is. These guys. See, this dude's installed an incinerator, too. I know the Mexicans. They work with their hands, these people. You might. Right. You know what an incinerator is, right? You've installed them, right? 4, 5, 6 of them. Wow, yeah, that's a weekend. Yeah, I got to tell you, you do plumbing? Yeah, you can sweat pipes, PVC, ABS, you do it all, right? Main whole thing. Yeah.
They'll tell you. Plumbing. Oh, my cousin will come tomorrow. He does the plumbing. Mm-hmm. Same guy, different hat.
Yeah.
My other cousin, he'll do the wiring.
He goes out to the van. He gets a new hat. Yeah, yeah. He comes back again. Yeah. He knows we don't pay attention. That's right. Yeah, and the garbage disposals are called the incinerator. I love that.
Did you know that for the entire time I lived in New York, I didn't have a garbage disposal because they don't have them there, and I don't know why?
What is it? Some sort of weird sound ordinance or something?
Anti-mafia thing.
I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone know?
Mm.
It's the bomb, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but it is weird. It's been a while since I've dropped the fork or the spoon down there, but there's no greater sound. It's just that clank, 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 and you can't get to the switch fast enough, and then you will still continue to use that spoon, even though it's got a weird fucking burr in it, and it'll dribble little milk from the cereal bowl down your chest and cut your lip just a little bit, and it's all of 80 cents worth of spoon, but it still will not come out of the rotation. Yeah.
But
you
respect it, because it's like a guy who's been in a knife fight.
Yeah.
A little roughed up.
Yeah, it's like a three-legged dog. Like, come on, he's still fucking hunting.
And that was Grapefruit Simmons live on stage with Adam Allison and Brian back in 2011. Girl Classics is not over yet, though. We have a Rotten Tomatoes game ready for you. This is the 52nd installment of the game.
Adam Carolla Show 1627. The main guest was Michelle Beadle. She's not in this. It's just Matt Atchery, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. It's a Rotten Tomatoes game from July of 2015. Check it out.
All right. Shall we play a little Rotten Tomatoes game?
With a fresh and rotten movie game. Now it's time, I really hope it isn't lame. Please let's go, I totally can't hear this note. I can't falsetto anymore. It hurts my balls, hurts my balls. And the gang makes flicks, Matt Atchery. He's a schlubby guy, and when he drops by, the gang has to guess. Do the critics score spanking, rotten or fresh? Atchery!
All right, what do we got?
We're going with the cast of Mission Impossible as the theme for today. So the first film is for Tom Cruise. In 1988, he starred as a young man who, among other things, was bribed by his girlfriend's father to leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is Cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Sort of fun in a very 80s way. Like
very
if, 80s. If you're looking for just some quintessential 80s bar scenes and neon and
some
that kind of stuff.
Music.
Yes, it's very super 80s. All right, we miss Brian Brown.
You know, the only piece of trivia I have about this movie is apparently they brought in bartenders from TGI Fridays.
To teach them how to spin the bottles and do whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Remember Gina Gershon was like a celebrity photographer who couldn't get enough of them behind the bar?
Yeah, I do miss those themes too. Yeah. Where they're
the photographer can make it happen.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to write a John Travolta is going to write a piece on Rolling Stone about Jamie Lee Curtis. Like they're really into this. Yeah. This there's a fitness gym in Fort Myer, and the Rolling Stone wants to know what's going on over there.
Then again, that is the plot of Trainwreck, and it's pretty good. So,
all right, let's see. Can't be high, but is it like insanely low? We know it's low, but we don't know how insanely low it is. I'm going to say, shit.
Well, let me ask a question before you do. It's not like The Color of Money where there was Paul Newman. Like, was there another anchor? I can't remember.
Elizabeth Shue
wasn't that person back then so much. I mean, it's easy on the eyes and all. Brian Brown sort of had a little FX thing going.
Speaking of credits, I wonder if we see the poster of this movie if their names are next to each other. Did Brian Brown wield that much clout back then in 1988?
This is after FX or before FX or whatever. Mm. All right. 34.
Ooh. I said 38. My fear is I'm way too high, though.
Ooh, well, then I'm screwed. 40.
Five.
Oh, shit!
Have you guys ever seen a five before?
It's not that bad, is it?
It is that bad.
I've seen it. I remember being...
When's the last time you watched this?
I was probably...
This is
19.
A bad movie that doesn't hold up.
I gave the whole fucking speech
5%.
after the goddamn game last week where I said... It's sort of hard to tell between a 35 and a 5 because it can be a 35 or it can be a 5. You don't – once you get well below 50, it's kind of – it's just up to you.
Yeah.
But they're out there. See, this is what fucks your shit up.
Did you see the log line?
What was it? Sorry.
When he pours, he rains. R-E-I-G-N-S.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things I find with the really low scores is there a group of people who looks back on a movie fondly, right? And I think Cocktail is one of those movies that nobody looks back on and says, oh, yeah, I used to love that movie. Like
right.
if at the time you're thinking it's bad, as opposed to some classic action movie that you grew up on and loved, that's what happens, I think, sometimes.
I'll tell you what I treat it like. I treat it like a Berlin song. I don't like Berlin that much, but they come on and they kind of remind me of a time.
Okay.
The very metro. Indicative of a time. Yeah. And when I see this, I just sort of sit back. And first off, it's fun just to watch people smoke in bars.
Right. Or just that's smoke anywhere.
Just watching people smoke where they want is kind of nice. And then all the super bad, like even the poster has that neon, yeah. You know. All right. Here we go.
So is anyone a negative? Right now? No. Are we all?
No. Pretty, no. Yeah, all right. Next up is a 2012 film starring Jeremy Renner carrying the torch for the Bourne franchise. This is The Bourne Legacy.
I never saw.
I never saw this one.
This one. I saw the first one, which I liked a lot.
You never saw the whole first three trilogy?
Action
movies.
Maybe. You know why? Because. In a world of, you know, planets colliding and CGI, this just went straight back to bare-knuckle fighting and stunt driving, and it's so much more visceral as a human being, you know. Maybe I did see this one. Anyway, I guess it was well-received, probably not maybe as well as the first one, but I'm going to say people liked it, and that's why I give it an 81.
Wild guess, 69.
I said 71.
55.
Oh, fuck! Wow. Is it that bad?
I've never seen it.
Oh, fuck you. I thought you liked it.
I had a wild guess.
You haven't seen the whole Bourne trilogy?
This is not the trilogy. This is number four.
Oh, this is four.
This is four.
Oh, fuck.
I was being legitimate.
Oh, this is four. I thought this was like two or something. Yeah, anyway, all right.
The first three movies.
All right.
All right. Next up, Alec Baldwin makes an appearance in Mission Impossible, and so we're going with a 1997 film where he stars opposite Anthony Hopkins in an adventure story about two guys being chased by a bear in the Northwest Territories. The movie is The Edge.
I don't watch gay porn, and I don't support it either. But either way.
Does anyone even recall this movie?
Oh, yeah. This movie's great.
I've never seen it.
Mammoth wrote the script.
Mammoth's great. Yeah. Yeah, Brian, we've talked about this movie before.
You've talked about it, and I've listened. I've never seen this movie.
Mammoth.
All right. Well, when I tell you 3 years ago, go watch this movie. I like it. And you watch movies every fucking weekend. Feel free to watch this movie.
Work in The Edge.
Ooh, look at that.
It's Mammoth does some great work in this movie, and it's a genre I love, which is just sort of like the gray, or it's that sort of guy alone in the wilderness, you know, guys alone trapped.
It's like a Jack London story.
It's not a horror movie, is it?
No, it's there's a bear, real bear. Not a haunted bear.
Not a
right. The
bear.
Story is not Anthony Hopkins bear. And Alec Baldwin. Anthony Hopkins is married to this trophy wife, Elle McPherson, and he thinks that Alec Baldwin is having an affair with her, and they're out on this plane, and the plane crashes in the woods, and there's one other guy that survives, and then this bear attacks and eats them, and there's been something early on where somebody said, like, oh, once a bear gets the taste of man. Mm-hmm. He never goes back to anything else. And so the rest of the movie is them trying to escape, like fighting off the bear. And is Alec Baldwin going to kill Anthony Hopkins because he wants his wife?
Mm-hmm. Is it based on a true story?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't every movie based on
true story? But well done.
Helps to know.
The Bible.
Lots of good dialogue. Just kind of slow burn when those movies that starts out, you know, first 30 minutes, not exactly sure what's going on, and then starts to kick in. But I recommend it. You like this movie, right?
I do like this movie.
I'm going to cross out my score real quick. I'm sticking with what I wrote down.
It's Mammoth. It's good. I can't imagine that many people didn't like it. I'm not sure what there is not to like, but I'm still going to give 71.
Wild guess of 66. The only reason being, I never hear anyone talk about this movie outside of this studio.
It doesn't get its due. Yeah,
for the same exact reason, I've literally never heard of it, so it can't be scored that high, in my opinion. I'm going 68.
60.
A little low for what I think. Brian, you're going to like this movie a lot.
I'm planning on seeing it.
Yeah. I don't know what the...
That's why I'm always surprised that it's that low. But, like, Ronin is down in the high 60s, Ronin. And that always surprises me, too.
Well, it's low in that you go, well, 40% of the people who saw this didn't think it was a C+ or a B- or whatever. And it's like, you see the poster, you see the two guys, you see the bear, that's your movie. Like, that's it. It delivered on what it was. Right. Plus, it's got the dialogue because it's a mammoth film. Mm-hmm. All right.
Next up, Ving Rhames returns to the Mission Impossible franchise. I think this is his fifth appearance. He's been in every entry.
Wow.
In 1994, he was with an ensemble cast in a movie from Quentin Tarantino. He played Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction.
Mm. We all love this movie. And critics loved it, too. God, you know, if there's anybody... It used to be Oliver Stone. I used to look forward to his movies coming out, and I think he went insane. But
pre or post Natural Born Killers?
Right in there. You know, I like The Doors, and I'm trying to think of, Wall Street and all that stuff. But it used to be if Oliver Stone was coming out with a movie, I was kind of going, oh.
You pay attention.
I didn't think it was... It didn't mean it had to be great.
But you're gonna see
it was just going to be an Oliver Stone movie, and I wanted to see what he had to offer.
Right.
And now I feel that way with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
He's coming out with a movie. I want to see what he's got to offer. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be good. But either way, that's his thing.
Very at least it'll be interesting.
I'm excited that he's coming out with a movie. All right. I think the critics love this movie, and I'm trying to get back in this fucking game. So I'm going to say 96%.
I said 90.
Are we allowed to say the same thing?
You wrote it down.
I wrote down 96.
93.
Ooh. I like it.
Yeah, talk about like who the movie's for. Like this, well, critics would have loved this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's for them.
Well, 96 audience score. 2.5 points deducted.
Up high.
New rule.
New rule.
Little known rule.
Little known rule that 2.5 points.
Seldom discussed a clause in this game.
That when you get the audience score, you remove. And the reason we do half. Okay.
I gotcha.
There we go.
All right. Next up, the newcomer to the franchise, Rebecca Ferguson, last year starred opposite Dwayne Johnson in the retelling of the mythical story Hercules.
Mm. I'm never one of my top not interested genres are these mythical tale ones where the guy's fighting a serpent in his leather underpants, but this takes place 2,000 years from now, but he still has a slingshot, but he's got a spaceship. Like, it very always borders on homoerotic.
Wait, is that the premise of this movie?
I don't know.
Is it in the future, but
Hercules
also in the past?
In space.
No. I just mean there's a lot. This is the genre.
It does border between homoerotic and very homoerotic.
Yes.
Like 300.
Yes. It finds its place right in between very homoerotic and super duper homoerotic. Dipped in jizz and homoerotic.
Yeah, and glaze.
I can never really figure out, not this movie per se, but I can't figure out if the guy has superpowers or he's just like super strong. Because sometimes he's doing battle in a very conventional way, and then other time he lifts a pyramid over his head or something. They sort of come in.
Yeah, he's essentially a superhero, but is he a man or is he
Hercules, he's just super strong guy. But I'm talking about a lot of these other movies like John, whoever, or well, I'm trying to think
Carter.
Of the one.
John Carter.
Yeah, like those kind of things. Like, can he fly or can he not fly? Why is he having trouble? Mm-hmm. It's always blurry. All right, Hercules. I don't think people hated this movie, but
did they?
I gotta be at least 25 points off the. I'm not even on the lead lap. I'm somewhere around. I'm not on the lead lap of this race. So I'm gonna go way out and go 27%.
I said 33. I have a horrible suspicion this is actually higher than we all think.
Oh, then I hope that's not true because I'm going 12.
60.
Oh,
I knew it!
Fuck. Listen.
I'm not playing anymore.
This is... I will take this loss because it's such a sloppy, embarrassing excuse of a Rotten Tomatoes game.
No one won this game.
Nobody won this game.
Degrees of losing.
I'm announcing before I even see the scores, there is no winner.
That's interesting. I didn't know you could do that.
Although, there is no winner.
I think I won.
I'm going to predict that I am in the high three digits.
This is...
Has anyone ever eclipsed 200 before? Well, let's see.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. All right.
I think I'm about to. Oh, my God. This is not a good game.
Gina Grad, 110. Adam Carolla, 101. And Bald Brian, an embarrassing 83.
I'm so
humiliating. Oh,
you just lost the least.
I know. I'm crushed.
You didn't win.
I'm crushed.
Mm. Yep.
Wow, that was very hard.
You just won the 100-meter dash with a time of 3 minutes, 21 seconds.
Still got that gold. Rotten or fresh. A sloppy game.
And that was the Rotten Tomatoes game. I do encourage you to listen to that full episode on Podcast One Premium because Michelle Beadle was also a fantastic guest. That'll do it for Cruel Classics. Before we get out of here, want to once again remind you guys about GEICO, because did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and...
My RV? Can I get some for my RV?
You could totally get some for your RV, Gio, because RV policies are covered too. That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Head over to GEICO. There's never been a better time to switch. Save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more. Corolla Classics returns tomorrow. Make sure to subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed so you get that episode and every Sunday episode for that matter. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.